30 female authors taking on the meaning of home. That's the jumping off point of a new collection of essays that explore the very different perspectives on what is home. The very idea of home resonates with our deepest emotions. But what makes a home? And do these defining memories really shape our existence? The book is titled This Is the Place, Women Writing About Home. The editors of this collection join us. Margot Kahn is the author of Horses That Buck. She writes essays and reviews, and she lives in Washington State, but joins us today from Arizona. Margot, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
And Kelly McMasters is here and as editor as well on this book, is author of Welcome to Shirley, a memoir from an atomic town. She writes essays and reviews and joins us from New York. Kelly, thanks for coming on.
Oh, I'm so excited to be here, Kate. Thanks.
Well, Margot, let's start with you. How did you put the call out and compile the themes for this collection of essays? Because they're not all warm and fuzzy thoughts of home.
It's true. You know, when we put the call out, we honestly said nothing more than, would you write an essay on the theme of home? We didn't give any more direction than that. And I have to say, I think that Kelly and I both thought that more of the stories we received would be happier, nostalgic, warm, fuzzy stories. And that wasn't quite the case. That said, there are so many beautiful stories in this collection, but as we read the general pool, we realized that people approach home in so many different ways. Almost every essay we got took a different angle or tact. There were some themes that we saw repeating, and I'm sure we'll talk about those more within the hour, but language, memory, and mothers, and landscape repeated. We also saw a number of pieces about moving. But we put the call out to try and get as many different perspectives as we could from a range of women of different ages, ethnicities, cultures, religions, colors, backgrounds of all kinds, and also geographically across the country. We wanted to hear from as many different people as we could.
Kelly, when you saw these common threads running together in this pool of essays that you were sitting down to read, what was your thought?
Like Margot, I think I expected a different experience. I actually was hoping that there would be some really intellectually rigorous beauty, but also toughness and reality. That's why I love nonfiction. That's why I love the essay. And that's what I was hoping to see, pieces that would make us think. And while I believe that the essay form can be both lovely and comforting, as well as thought-inspiring, I was hoping that that people would take a chance and be vulnerable and tell us the real stuff about the difficulties in home. When Margot and I were first talking about this, you know, we came to this project and this topic because we both had huge questions about home in our own lives. And what we sensed was that many women, not just in our age range, but younger and older, and that everybody sort of had different concerns and considerations and the trappings of how to make a home, how to get away from the home that maybe you don't want. And Desiree Cooper, one of our essayists, has a beautiful line in her essay, Away from Dangerous Things, that says, home is culture, tradition, and memory, not mortar. And I think that's more than anything what we experienced. It wasn't about an actual home. It was really about the fantasy of home.
Margot, motherhood, the topic of motherhood, does that define how women write about the home, or is that just a piece of that experience?
I think it's just a piece of the experience, but it's definitely a key piece for many women, not all women, of course, but many of us were raised by mothers or grandmothers, and many of us have become mothers ourselves. As Kelly said, this book was born out of sort of moments of disruption in both of our lives. For me, that moment of disruption was a happy one. It was when I had my son, which was just about 7 years ago. But after I had him, I found myself at home much more than I thought I was going to be home. And I don't really know what I was expecting. I knew I would be home somewhat, but I also, up until that point, had gone to school and gone to college with the expectation that I would work and be a working woman. And when I had my son, the reality was that my salary being lower than my partner's salary meant that I was going to be the one to stay home. I also felt a desire to stay home with a very young child and nurture him and create a home space that was warm and caring and safe for him. And so I took a 6-month leave from my job that then turned into a longer stint as a stay-at-home parent, even though I really chafe at that moniker. But the more time that I spent at home, the more I thought about my role there. And I think that for many women, that is the case. I also got to thinking about the roles that my grandmother and my mother played at home and how that related to my relationship with my partner and what this home space I was creating was going to look like and what my son was going to think of that space when he grew up. So I think in that respect, you know, motherhood can play a very large role in the homemaking process.
And Kelly, you approached your essay on this whole move from city to rural, the disruption of moving into the country with your spouse, and what happened in your marriage and the whole change of environment.
Well, I think landscape in particular sheds new light on anything, really. The beauty and the mystery of having a vacation house or a second house. It wasn't really our second house because we didn't have a first house. We couldn't afford something in New York City, so our first purchase was actually an old 1860s farmhouse in rural Pennsylvania, and that acted as our sort of weekend and summer house. And then when I was pregnant with my second child, we decided to try it for real. And so my essay was about that shift and moving. I was still commuting for work once a week, but to the city. But otherwise, you know, we had moved into this space that had really acted almost as a dollhouse, as I describe it in my essay. You know, second homes are sort of like a fantasy, or vacations are like a fantasy, in the same way that an affair is like a fantasy. And you can be a different person when you're there, but then when you are there all the time and it becomes your norm, you realize you still have to figure out who's going to change the toilet paper rolls and who's going to pay for the propane and who's going food shopping and what happens when you run out of milk and all of the not exciting parts of the fantasy. And I think what happened, it's not so much that our relationship changed, but with against the new landscape, we were very rural. There were no neighbors. It was really my ideal. I thought this is the perfect place to bring up two boys. But what happened was in the absence of the hubbub of the city, it really made certain issues in the relationship much more glaring and impossible to run away from. So I came to this project and this essay in the moment that I was actually leaving my marriage and leaving the home that I had worked so hard to build and didn't turn out the way that I thought it would.
We are talking about the new book, This Is the Place, Women Writing About Home. The editors join us on this collection of essays about home, Margot Kahn and Kelly McMasters, both authors as well as contributors with their own essays in this work, This Is the Place. You can join in this conversation at 800-642-1234. What do you want to say about the home? Do you find people's ideas about the home have evolved, have changed? Maybe you see generational shifts with the approach to what is home. 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Kelly, getting back to your essay, I really wanted you to read just a passage of it on page 202 to give us a sense, a glimpse of this moment for you as to what home was meaning in that moment. You describe men, including your husband, outside hunting. And can you take it from there?
Sure. So in this scene, basically, hunting season is a community act, and all of the men in the neighborhood, and the neighborhood was primarily populated by men. I was one of the few women, and was not invited to the hunt. So in this case, there's a gender divide as well as sort of an imagination divide. The men were invisible in the forest and swamp, but their sound surrounded us. Every so often, I would spy a flash of orange or yellow. Every time I passed a window, I looked out into the emptiness. The children piled blocks. We read, and we slept. We stayed inside. Then a gun would crack close by, and the whoops would grow louder, like coyotes after a kill. Hours passed. I kept looking out into the woods, searching for human forms. I felt blind and on show at the same time, like being on stage for a concert and knowing the audience is there but not being able to see past the glare of the house lights. After a while, I drew the blinds, sealing the kids and myself inside. Alone, just the three of us, closed off from the men and the landscape outside, we could have been anywhere.
What did that experience tell you about your home in that place?
I think what it made me feel was very alone. There was a sense in this house, as a mother, thinking about what I want for my children, especially as small men, how I want my small men to grow into large, wonderful, caring big men, and I realized that I wasn't able to really provide the warmth and engagement and all the things that I thought, and the happiness and the laughter and all the things that I thought would come with building a home. And so it was really sad, because at the time I was also, I had just opened an independent bookshop in the little town. Mm. And in a way, I suddenly had this perfect life. I remember going to a college reunion and, catching up with people. And I would say, I left the city, which even though everyone loves New York City, it's everyone's secret desire to leave. I had left the city for the country, for this sort of bucolic country life. And my husband was an artist, I was a writer, we'd opened this bookshop, I had two little boys, and it was perfect, except it wasn't at all. And even though from the outside, and I think this is the case with many people's home experiences, even though on the outside everything looked wonderful, what was happening on the inside was not. And so I really had to make a choice and decide to leave that perfection that I felt I had worked so hard for and actually attained. That's why the essay is called The Leaving Season. I had to leave all of that in order to actually thrive and continue to help my children grow.
Margot, this book reveals, or perhaps it admits, that women's lives sometimes revolve around expectations. How do women serve themselves while keeping everyone else functioning around them?
That might be the $24 million question. I feel like that question arises in so many conversations that I have with women. You know, how, if it is important to you or just a necessity or something that's ingrained in you or something that's become a habit to care for other people, how do you make that space to not just take care of yourself, but also allow yourself the space to think and reflect and recognize in the way that Kelly did what it is that you really want and need, and figure out how to go about that. I don't think it's an easy thing to do. It's certainly not an easy question to answer.
It's a collection of 30 original essays that take on the subject of home. We're looking at the complexity of home through the stories of women who view it in different ways. The new book is called This Is the Place. The editors, Margot Kahn and Kelly McMaster, stay with us. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Is home a physical place, or is it the emotional space to be yourself, to feel safe and loved? Does it matter geographically? Is home where you live now, or is your real home across the country? 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll return to this conversation in just a moment. Sweet home, as the saying goes, over the hearth. But home is never so sweet or idyllic as the image we see in our minds. We're exploring home through 30 original essays written by women in the new book, This Is the Place. The editors of the book, Margot Kahn and Kelly McMaster, stay with us. Your insights on home, your stories of what home means to you are welcome. 800-642-1234. How has your home shaped who you are today? Do you do things a specific way because they remind you of home and your upbringing? What have you intentionally changed in your life to avoid the problems of home? 800-642-1234. Let's go to Tom, who joins us in New Berlin. Hi, Tom.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Well, I just want to say that it's good to hear that your guest is promoting and talking up a stay-at-home mom. They serve a very crucial purpose in the home life and in child upbringing. It's something I feel that we've just moved away from too much. Both school and feminism has told women that you need to go to work, you need to go earn a paycheck, you need to be just like a man. Women are men. Women are so much more. They're so much different. Men and women are different. There's no arguing that. And I feel that there needs to be more of a switch that we need to promote it and make it more valuable. Homeschooling is becoming more and more popular these days. There's a reason for it.
Well, let's let Margot jump in here with the essays in mind. Margot?
Yeah, like I said earlier on the show, there was an expectation, I feel like, when I was growing up in the early 80s, there's this sort of push for women in the workplace, women to have more options to be whatever you want to be. But I also heard around me that, it's very important for women to raise their children, and that if you're going to work, you should be available to pick up from school when school lets out. And, and then there's summer vacation, and then there are all these holidays and sick days and snow days. And the reality for me when I had my son was realizing that, gosh, being a working woman in today's society where there's an expectation in the workplace that you're sort of constantly available in many industries, and in most others, that it's a 9-to-5. There's you don't get summer off unless you're a teacher. The reality of that was not at all what I'd expected. I mean, it's actually more complicated than it appears on the surface. And the United States is the only developed country in the world not to have a national paid maternity leave or parental leave policy. And I didn't realize this before I had a child because it wasn't on my radar, but I now find it really shocking. And I feel like the only way for women to truly have the choice to stay home and raise their children is for that to be a viable option by their employers. And I think that it's entirely reasonable for women to take a leave to stay home with children and get them off to a good start if that's their choice. But the only way it's really a choice is if it's equitable. If when a woman leaves work to stay home, she risks losing her job and, you know, won't have a job to return to, if she's going to lose pay and make that wage gap even greater, but it's not really a fair choice. So I think there's a lot, you know, that my mind, my eyes have been opened from being home and also just paying attention to the greater landscape of women and work and child rearing. But I really appreciate the caller's comments that, you know, staying home is a valuable job. And I think there is nothing more that nothing sort of irritates me more than when people say of women who are taking a leave that they are not doing anything or that they are wasting their talents by staying home to raise their children. I feel like that's those are not the right things to say.
Well, let's move now to more aging here. I mean, we're talking about younger families, but Lori in St. Francis wants to move the discussion a little bit older here. Lori, let's go ahead.
Yes. Hi. I really find this a wonderful discussion, and I noticed it is of younger women. I raised a large family. I had a career somewhere later in my life. And now, of course, as you can tell, I am a senior. And I noticed that a lot about your stories mention the fact that there are times of loneliness. And if you want to hear about loneliness, my dears, just look to the senior and their homes. And realizing that our children are very busy growing their own families, and we have so little purpose in life, and no matter how wonderful our kids are in helping us to make our smaller homes or apartments lovely, it's still very lonely, and that would be my comment. Maybe it's time for another book. Thank you.
Go ahead, Kelly McMasters.
I want to say that one thing Margo and I focused on when we were choosing the 30 essays here is that we did include so many different voices. So I would hope that your caller would find some discussion that relates to her. There's a huge age range in this book. And I do think loneliness certainly affects the older population. I think it affects every population. I think every home has its moments of loneliness. And even one of the writers, Sonia Chung, in her gorgeous essay, she talks about, it's called Size Matters, and she talks about when she was a child and her family lived in a very small house, and then her father got a promotion and they moved into a very large house. And suddenly everybody had their own room and nobody talked to anybody anymore. And no one was together anymore. And so even space, when you're still living together, it can still be very lonely. I do want to also point to a gorgeous essay on moving home. Of course, as we know with the economy, so many people are moving home back to into their parents' homes, even with that once they've started their own family. And Kirsten Sundberg Lundstrom wrote a gorgeous essay about returning to her parent to the home where she grew up in with her husband and child, and the joy, but also the complication. I think a full house can be sometimes you wish for loneliness when there are too many people in the house, but I do want to tell the caller that we hear you, and I think that we really strived to include so many different stories from, you know, different ethnicities and different sexualities and different age groups, that hopefully the book will reflect whatever your own personal story of home is.
Lori, thanks so much for contributing to the conversation. Margo, some people consider home based on language. Several of the authors of the essays explore their diverse backgrounds. One describes resisting speaking Spanish, and then as an adult, she feels compelled to make sure her son can speak Spanish. And her first words to him, she instinctively speaks in Spanish. What about mother tongue, the essay Mother Tongue?
Yeah, so this essay was written by a writer who lives in Boston now, Jennifer DeLeon. And Kelly and I were so drawn to this essay because of this sort of, well, it's not unique, but unique in this book in some ways, this take on language. And this sense that when you grow up in one language, there is so much about your world that is defined by those first words that you're using. And, you know, people who speak multiple languages say that they often dream in another language. When they get older, they sort of instinctively go back to their native tongue or their first language. And when we talk about home, oftentimes the perception or the assumption is that we're talking about some level of comfort. And so, of course, if you first learn to communicate in one language, there is a comfort there. In Jennifer's case, the language, of course, also ties her to her home country. And once she moves to the United States, she realizes that there's this piece of her that has just necessarily gone missing. And when she has her son, she really grapples with, you know, how is my son going to be connected on this deep, deep level that I am to my home country of Guatemala if he doesn't know the language? And she writes quite a bit about her own going back to Guatemala and realizing that even her own language isn't quite up to par and she's missing out. And so this essay just reflects beautifully on what that all means.
The book is This Is the Place, Women Writing About Home. It's edited by Margo Kahn and Kelly McMasters. You can discuss home in the context that you see it. Join in the conversation, 800-642-1234. Let's go to Bonnie now, who joins us from Indiana. Hi, Bonnie.
Hi, thank you. I learned the concept of home from my husband after we got married. I'd moved around a lot as a child with my family many, many times, and so he grew up on a farm, and he went to university, and I went to university, and then we met later and decided to build on the farm acreage, and I was able to really draw up and plan my concept of home, which is field stones and barn beams, and we raised our family there on the home farm. And we were able to have a duck farm as well as teach in the Amish school, which was nearby. So we were in an Amish neighborhood and really learned the sense of community as we were building our family and our home in that space. And so we lived there 40 years, and then my husband and I moved away for 6 years, and he passed away. But meanwhile, my middle daughter bought the home, and I found myself moving back into my special home to be with my family there. And so it definitely is my place.
Mm. Kelly, would you like to respond to that? How landscape informs home?
That is such a beautiful story. Thank you for sharing that, Bonnie. And I think that really encapsulates the very best that a home can offer, and how wonderful that you got to return to the field stones and barn beams that you described. It sounds lovely, and I can completely understand why you would love it. Immediately when you were talking, one of the essays called Inheritance by Elizabeth Eves came to mind, and she writes about a vacation home that means so much in Baja, Mexico, with her parents, and again the loss of her father becomes the center point of the essay, and she goes back and takes a totem, this cowbell, from the vacation home, and that place and all of the memories that she has with her father there are really what makes that home, even after they sell it. And she takes this bell home with her back to the States and has that there just to sort of allow her to be transported back. She's not as lucky as you, Bonnie, that she doesn't have that home anymore, but she still has those memories. And I think more than anything, the memories of feeling safe and warm and happy with the people you love, being able to access that, even if you can't access the actual place, is what home is all about, I think.
Well, Bonnie, thanks for sharing your story. Margot, there's one essay that focuses on life near a nuclear reactor in New York. It's dangerous, but everyone stays near the power plant because it's home. Why? What about this essay struck you?
Well, this is a very interesting one, and I'm glad you brought it up. The essay is by Amanda Petrusich, and her family grows up in Buchanan, New York, where her parents have teaching positions, and there is this nuclear plant essentially in their backyard, and the essay is titled Nuclear Family, and she brings such beauty and humor to the description of this place where she grows up and the fun times that she and her sister had, and even how they would joke around when they would go fishing and the bottom of the metal boat would start getting hot if they got too close to the plant, and they would,
because it has a warming effect on the water around the cooling water, is that right?
I guess so.
Yeah.
And they would joke that when they pulled fish out of the water that they might be nuclear fish, and so they recognize that there's this danger, and yet they stay. And right, that becomes the question. How do you stay in a place where things might be dangerous? And honestly, I think, I deal with this living in Seattle. We have this sort of constant threat of earthquake, and of course, California, where I grew up in Ohio, we sort of had a semi threat of tornadoes. Many places have this sort of possibility of danger, and this really is a constant source of conversation in Seattle. Are you prepared? Do you have your extra food and water and your emergency plan? And I know people who've left town because of this danger, but Amanda talks about staying and staying in the face of danger because this is home, because this is still comfortable, because this is what you know, or because you just can't leave. This is where your job is. This is where your family is. And so you sort of accept that, well, there may be danger here, but right now we're okay. And many of the essays reflect this in many different ways, this idea that, we want to feel safe, and yet in many cases and many times, safety is really out of our control.
Mm. The book is an anthology. It's a collection of female voices from all different backgrounds grappling with the same idea. What is home? The essays inhabit themes of loss, of love, homelessness, poverty, immigration, gender equality, and so much more. The editors of the book, This Is the Place, stay with us, Margot Kahn and Kelly McMasters, both authors, both participating in this collection of 30 essays. Your thoughts on home at 800-642-1234. What makes you feel guilty about the way you've chosen to balance home and life beyond the front door? How do you know you've made the right decision for yourself, for your family, for your home? Join in at 800-642-1234. We'll return in just a bit. What makes a home? It's a question that can be answered in myriad ways, and home is a subject that has a unique quality for everyone. It's the basis for reflections on home in the new anthology, edited by Margot Kahn and Kelly McMasters. They stay with us. It's titled, This is the Place, Women Writing About Home. Your thoughts on home are welcome. 800-642-1234. What thoughts about home has this conversation unearthed for you? Join in with your story about home at 800-642-1234. Let's go to Paula in Wausau. Hi, Paula.
Yeah, hi. I'm just calling because I was thinking about home as I was raising my daughter as a single mom, and I didn't necessarily feel contentment with this being home, what I had to offer her. Now she's in high school, and she's heading on out shortly in a couple of years going to college, and then I just wonder, you know, where is my home? Do I stay here? Do I follow her? Those are my thoughts.
Kelly, go ahead.
Well, Paula, I'm glad that you first identified as a single mom. I'm also a single mom of two boys, and I work full-time. And that kind of, I wanted to jump back to Tom's comment. Just to be clear, we're not advocating for any choices here. We're just offering the different ways that it's possible to do things and our experiences. I agree that, you know, what Margo was saying about you know, the discussion of devaluing time at home is very frustrating. But I also just wanted to make clear that I am a single mom and full-time professor by choice, and that is the right choice for me. I think it sounds like you have a similar experience. My boys are my world. I dedicated this book to my sons, who are my forever home, and in a way I feel like no matter where they are, wherever they are, is where my home will be. But obviously, as our earlier caller talked about, they will go on and have their own lives, and we will have to take responsibility to build our own separate homes as well, but always hopefully be there for them. I think that it is difficult and scary and personally terrifying thinking about the time that my children will be leaving the home, but at the same time, what a special opportunity to help them build these memories and make them the very best people that they can be while they are home, and help them have a clear, solid identification with what home means for them, so that when they do go out into the world on their own, that they can create what they want, not necessarily recreate what they had, but know what they want and what they don't want, which I think is really the best we can hope for.
And Margot, your thoughts on the questions going in Paula's mind here about moving home based on perhaps her daughter's decisions in life.
Yeah, I think it is such an interesting thing to think about, and it sort of gets to those personal definitions of what home is. You know, I feel like for me, I've always felt, up until this point anyway, that landscape, that the physical place, not necessarily the house or apartment or space that I'm living in, but the surrounding area, the natural area, is very, very important to me. And I've always chosen that over a job or even family. I chose to leave my you know, when I left my parents' house, I chose to move very far away because Seattle just really felt to me like the place that I wanted to be, and I would find work there, and I would find community there, because that was the landscape that inspired me. For other people, it's more about what fills their days, or community, or friends, or family. And I don't think there's any one right choice, but I feel like it's about sort of sussing out what the most important bits are. And, you know, if the most important bit is to be near your daughter, I've watched so many of my parents' friends leave their city and their home of 30, 50 years to go be closer to their children, and they figure out how to make home in that new place. On the other hand, you know, maybe you're really embedded in the community that you're in, and your friends and your community are what keeps you grounded, and so it makes sense to stay. I think we're fairly lucky in this day and age to have different travel options, and it's not like anybody has to, you know, get in a covered wagon and take 6 months to go visit someone else. And so, you know, we can maintain relationships on Skype or, you know, video conferencing or by telephone and by email. This range of options presents so many more questions than it does answers, but there is so much opportunity.
Paula, thank you so much for reflecting on that. Let's go to Mary, who joins us from Butternut. Hi, Mary.
Hi. I've never actually in my entire life felt that any place was really home. I've never even been totally accepted where I've lived. Like, I just recently moved to Butternut, and it doesn't feel like home here either. And I've always been told by people that my problem is I'm just too different. And I have no idea what they mean by too different. Very few people have ever accepted me.
Kelly, go ahead.
That's so interesting, Mary. I think a lot, we were, both Margo and I think I can speak for you too, we're amazed at how that feeling of not belonging really runs through so many of these essays and the way we do or do not feel at home. And I think there are different ways of feeling belonging for different people. One essay that comes to mind is Lee Newman's beautiful essay about moving. She grew up in Alaska, where she didn't necessarily fit, but she loved it. And she, not that she didn't fit, but it wasn't a perfect upbringing. But she loved the landscape and the beauty there. And then she finds herself in Brooklyn, of all places, yearning for the natural world of Alaska and not finding it, and moving again finally to this place with a garden. And right before they move in, the landlord pours concrete across the whole backyard as a favor to them because, you know, grass breeds mosquitoes. And so she gets to this place where she finally thinks, okay, now I can have a little green space of my own, and it's gone. So she works really hard to build her own sense of home in that backyard, and she gets, you know, a salmon. She creates things. She brings in these plants from Alaska, and she smokes salmon in her backyard. But what really makes her feel more home than anything else is this man who is a neighbor, an older man who is gardening in his backyard, and it's this beautiful story of they don't even really know each other's first names for maybe a year or more. And he's nearly unintelligible because cancer has ravaged his jaw, and he can't really speak very well, and he's also Italian, so he has a very heavy accent. And yet, they're passing, you know, tomatoes and giving each other guidance on how to train, how to, you know, housebreak a dog and things like this. And it's the first way that she feels home there, because they're of this relationship. And I think neighbors, community, things like that are ways that can surprise us. I know I grew up in Long Island, and I swore I would never return, and yet here I am. I live in Long Island again, and it's been a really interesting surprise to try and find the ways that I can feel home in a place that really more than anywhere else is my home, and yet never quite felt like home. Mm-hmm. And so I understand, Mary, that feeling of not belonging, and sometimes what we see in these essays is one place more than anything will feel that way, and then we do everything we can to get back to it, and sometimes the heartbreak is we can't. So I don't think there is I think it's rare for people to feel, yes, this is my home, in the way, for example, Bonnie earlier did with her beautiful Amish countryside home.
Yeah. Mary, thank you so much for calling in and sharing. The last piece revolves around a woman going back to the projects, a place she called home, a place she experienced trauma. The buildings are different. The neighbors have changed. It even has a new name. But she says no place feels more like home. And Margot, your reflections as we start to close the hour here on We Carried Ourselves Like Villagers.
This essay, I just found so beautiful and so evocative. It's by a woman named Katina Bakote, and she writes, as you say, about the projects where she grew up, and her grandfather, who was so dear to her and who was shot and killed there. And she talks about growing up with all the children who lived in these buildings and how they just were outside the moment the good weather began. All the doors were open and everyone was out and playing together. And, you know, because of the close proximity of all the families living together or near each other, they were like one big family. Mm. And yet there was, over time, as the drug epidemic became an issue, there was more and more violence. And this is how her grandfather died and many other young people and old people in this community were killed. And she reflects on at the end on how across the way there is a memorial that you can see from, you know, far, far away, this big memorial that is put up to the servicemen and women who sacrificed their lives.
And Margot and Kelly, we have to leave it there. Authors Margot Kahn and Kelly McMasters, they're the editors of a new anthology titled This Is the Place, Women Writing About Home. Thank you so much for joining us. The Morning Show is produced by Keely Baltina. Michelle Johnson is executive producer. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and this conversation about home you find on the Ideas Network.